Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayasa Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Hare Krishna. Today we'll be beginning a new chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 24, entitled The Renunciation of Kadama Muni. We will read text 1 to 3. So I'll chant the Sanskrit for the first two, and then we'll do the third one together. Maitreya Vacha Niveda Vadinam Evam Mano Duhi Taram Munihi Dayalu Shalini Maha Shukla Bivyaritam Smaran Maitreya Vacha Niveda Vadini Mevam Manor Duhitaram Munihi Dayalu Shalini Maha Shukla Bivyaritam Smaran Maitreya Uvacha Niveda Vadini Mevam Manor Duhitaram Munihi Dayalu Shalini Maha Shukla Bivyaritam Smaran. Niveda Vadini Meva Manu Shalini Maha Shukla Bivyaritam Smaran Manu Dayutam Muni Dayalu Shalini Maha Shukla Bivyaritam Smaran Maitreyaha. The great sage Maitreya Uvacha said, Niveda Vadinim, who was speaking words full of renunciation, Evam, thus, Manoho of Swayambhuva Manu, Duhi Tarang to the daughter. Munihi, the sage Kadama, Dayaluhu, merciful, Shalining, who was worthy of praise. Aha replied, Shukla, by Lord Vishnu, Abhivyaritam, what was said. Smaran, recalling. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Recalling the words of Lord Vishnu, the merciful sage Kadama replied as follows to Swayambhuva Manu's praiseworthy daughter, Devahuti, who was speaking words full of renunciation. Text 2. Rishi Uvacha Makido Raja Putritam Atmanam Prat Anandita Te Bhagavanste Ksharogarbam Aduratsam Prapatsyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The sage said, do not be disappointed with yourself, O princess. You are actually praiseworthy. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead will shortly enter your womb as your son. Purport. Kadama Muni encouraged his wife not to be sorry, thinking herself unfortunate, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his incarnation, was going to come from her body. Text 3. Dhritavratasi badramte dharmena niyamena cha Tapo dravina danaischa Shradaya cheshwaram bhaja. Translation. You have undertaken sacred vows. God will bless you. Hence you should worship the Lord with great faith. Through sensory control, religious observances, austerities, and gifts of your money in charity. Purport. In order to spiritually advance or to achieve the mercy of the Lord, one must be self-controlled in the following manner. He must be restrained in sense gratification and must follow the rules and regulations of religious principles. Without austerity and penance, and without sacrificing one's riches, one cannot achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Kadama Muni advised his wife, you have to factually engage in devotional service with austerity and penance, following the religious principles and giving charity. Then the Supreme Lord will be pleased with you, and he will come as your son. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanang Pavinebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langai Te Girim, Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande, Shri Gurun Dinatayanam, Paramananda Madhavam, Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to thank the devotees for giving me an opportunity to render some service at Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'd like to appreciate all the senior devotees in the community, Prabhupada disciples, and second generation, third generation, quite a unique community Alachua is. Please give your blessings that we may speak something which will inspire us in our Krishna consciousness and please our Srila Prabhupada and spiritual masters. We are in the section of the Bhagavatam where we've just had the most memorable, significant wedding found in the literature, the wedding of Kadama Muni and Devahuti. Kadama Muni is a great yogi and saint, sage, who was performing great austerity with the objective of going back to Godhead. We find Swayambhuva Manu, who is the ancestor of mankind. Manu, manusya, man. We come from one ancestor. Even on the bodily platform of life, we are all related. What to speak of our relationship on the spiritual platform of life? Aham bija pradapitaha. Krishna has claimed that he's the seed-giving father of all living entities. And within this universe, humanity is related from this ancestor, Swayambhuva Manu. Being a leader within the universe, then Swayambhuva Manu becomes the custodian of religious principles. He has to preserve and follow. Therefore, everyone will learn something from his example. Part of the duty of a religious man is to ensure, especially that one's daughters find suitable husband and are married. So also Mbuvumanu, with his great spiritual discernment, understood that Kadama Muni was the right personality to accept his daughter. And he approached Kadama Muni to let him know that I have a very suitable daughter, and I've heard that you are looking to marry, and so I think that you will have a great match with my daughter. Kadama Muni was pleased. Yes, it is my objective to marry. However, I have conditions, T's and C's, that after I give offspring to your daughter, then I will leave to continue my austerities. So Mbuvumanu was okay with that. It is, anyway, Shatuvanyamaya Shristam Guna Kama Vibhagasa. Part of Vanashram Dharma is that from household life, one must progress to Vanaprastha life, and then, if possible, to the life of renunciation. All of this so that one fulfills the great mission of accepting human life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. So in today's verse, especially the second and third shlokas, we hear his words addressing his wife. Devahuti was satisfied. His husband, who had performed great austerities, had accepted her. Here we find not a rags to riches story, but a riches to rags situation where Devahuti is a princess living in the palace. She has all the fineries of life, and she has to marry a yogi who is austerity personified without really much material possessions. But she could understand that his wealth was the wealth within. His wealth was the wealth of austerity. And so she accepted him and served him with great sincerity and attention, undergoing the same types of austerities that the husband was undertaking. We have heard sometimes those who give marriage counseling to couples that it is always wise for the husband to offer all protection to the wife, supply all the necessities, give that type of protection so that she is not in any anxiety. That will be good for the marriage. And we hear that for the wife, it is always positive for her to be ready to accept the means that the husband can provide, whatever level of material facility that he can provide. If she can be able to be satisfied with that, it will bring peace within the environment. Of course, we also know how the feminine nature can inspire the man. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. One leaves the Brahmachari ashram practically with nothing sometimes. But when one gets a suitable lady, then inspired to better himself, inspired to get necessary resources to protect and to provide for wife and offspring that will come. However, here we see in Devahuti that she completely surrendered to the lifestyle of her husband and performed so much austerity that she lost all sorts of weight. She was emaciated. You would not say this is the princess. Her dedicated service to her qualified husband touched the heart of the husband. Kadama Muni was so pleased with her sincere service that he was ready to offer her anything. So he provided great, great opulences, he manifested using his yogic powers a flying palace, practically a mini planet, moving around with all sorts of enjoyments, all sorts of maid servants, and all sorts of food, something unseen by modern man. And there was great enjoyment, household life was flourishing. But just like everything within this world, it is within the grip of time. Whatever has a beginning has an end. And days went very fast, because in the comfort zone, then one forgets all other worries and one just loses themselves in that enjoyment and doesn't notice. Ayuharati vai pung sam udhyana sto chayana so yachanonita. That the rising and the setting of the sun are taking away the lifespan of all living beings. But one who is absorbed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this movement of time does not spoil their life. It is simply speeding up their exit and back to Godhead. So after all that enjoyment, Kadama Muni is to leave home. So Devahuti is affected by this. Although she knew that at the end of all this wonderful household life, the husband was going to go, naturally because of affection, she didn't really want him to go. She understood he has to go. So with a heart full of lamentation, she put forward a very powerful request to the husband. My dear husband, you've given me everything in terms of material, and now you've also are giving me progeny. However, please, you give me fearlessness before you leave me. And what is this fearlessness? We are saying Abhaya Charanaravinda. We are surrendering at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, those feet where there is no fear. So when one is given the process of devotional service, surrenders to the Supreme Lord, then one is freed from fear. So she wanted to be instructed in devotional service. Showing her great qualification that she understood what was the goal of life. And she was ready to hear from her husband. And now he speaks words of consolation. Do not be disappointed with yourself, O princess. You are actually praiseworthy. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead will shortly enter your womb as your own son. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of so many amazing accounts, histories of the interactions of devotees with the Supreme Lord. And sometimes it can be lost to us just how significant and extraordinary this is, that the Supreme Person, God Almighty, was to enter the womb of this princess and appear as her son. Our Vaishnava conception makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead a familiar figure, that sometimes it's lost on us how he is the all-powerful, almighty, the possessor of all opulences, the controller of everything, Adantarastha, Paramanu Chayantarastha, who is dwelling within each and every atom in his full potency, who knows every nook and cranny of the universe, that personality, many wonder who he is, does he exist, where does he reside, what's on his mind, what's his plan with our lives, does he have a plan? Some say maybe God died, and therefore this whole thing is going on without anyone in charge. No wonder wars, pestilence, and so many reverses. However, The Srimad Bhagavatam has such a powerful lens that we're zooming into the personal activities of the Lord. That we are hearing that God Almighty is to appear in the womb of this wonderful devotee, being pleased with a devotional service. If Supreme Lord Krishna is the supreme pure, then he can only appear in a place which is full of purity. So Devahuti was qualified. And not just any incarnation, but the Lord himself, not Shakti Avesh, but yes, a plenary portion of the Lord was to appear in the womb of Devahuti. So there is no need for lamenting. This is Kadama Muni's point. That if you think you had great association with me, you had shelter in me, soon you will have the shelter of all shelters appearing as your son. So we are seeing here the fruit of austerity. The culmination of austerity. In text 3, Dhrita Vrata Si, this word you have firmly held your vows. Speaking to the fact that her spiritual practice was not casual. We've heard the catchphrase, if you are casual with your bhakti, you may become a casualty. So Devahuti was not casual with her spirituality. She was dhritavratasi, meaning determined, one who is following a vow. There's a difference with sporadic enthusiasm and sacred vows. Many people are inspired by the activities of Krishna consciousness. You have seen, we have seen many come due to inspiration, observing a festival, seeing a Rath Yatra, hearing wonderful kirtan, prasadam. However, not all remain fixed and dedicated. So he is not just placating her, consoling her, but he is glorifying her particular flavor of devotional service of Krishna consciousness, that she is firm in her vows. She's not just going on impulse. I feel inspired. And next week, oh, I'm so depressed, you know. I don't think I'll do this. So feelings are very fleeting. They are based on, we're moved by circumstances. If people are hugging me and glorifying me, then I love the Hare Krishna movement. But if they criticize me, find some fault in me, then this is a cult, actually. I suspect it. This is a cult. I'm out of here. So vrata. Vrata means remaining fixed even when the inspiration fades. Vrata will carry one through the ups and downs, which are natural in life's journey. So Srila Prabhupada often emphasized that enthusiasm is good, but steadiness is better. So one who is steady can win the race. It's not a sprint, as we've heard, it's a marathon. Sometimes you see when a marathon is starting, someone thinks, these guys are spacing out. They're running slow. I'll just sprint ahead and get a gap and leave them behind. However, one has to have a constant supply of energy to run the whole marathon. If you use your energy too quickly, then you will not be able to sustain. So Devahuti represents sustained commitment. Every day we have to choose Krishna. We have to choose to hold on to the instructions of Gurudev. And the more we make this choice, the more we make this divine commitment, then Dhrida Vrata can actually be implemented in our lives and we will be able to sustain our Krishna consciousness. Dhamena means that she had controlled her senses. So dharma, to not dharma, but dharma, to control one's senses is speaking to the external discipline that is necessary in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Five senses are there. They are meant to be controlled by the reins of the mind. The mind is meant to be controlled by intelligence. That intelligence has to be empowered, purified by hearing Shastra, connecting to the intelligence of the Supreme, the intelligence of the liberated souls. Then the soul can safely navigate this chariot of the body. So, dhamena. And this does not mean repression. As Sri Krishna has warned in the Gita, what will repression accomplish? Grinding our teeth and I'll do this. And as they said, pushing down the spring. How long can you hold it? It will shoot up. But this means regulation. To be steady, to be regulated, then the senses can be controlled. Not that I'm fasting and I'm trying to do it 1 week, 2 weeks, and then come the festival, then the feast is too inspiring for the next 3 weeks. You know, I forgot about my fasting. One has to be steady. So the examples of this are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. In this verse, yukta hara viharasya, yukta chesta sakamasu, yukta swapna vobhadasya, yoga bhavati, dukaha. That one has to be regulated in his recreation, in his sleeping, in his speech. We can add in his sexuality, in his entertainment. We are not stones. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if one would cut out all sense gratification, that would mean one is dead. So we have these senses. They are looking for their objects. And in Krishna consciousness, we learn how to engage our senses within the realm of devotional service, within regulation, within certain limits, not extreme on other sides. Yoga is the middle path, the path of balance. So we are not against the senses, but we are pro-purification of the senses. So freedom from the senses, not freedom for the senses. If the senses are controlling me, then the horses are wild. You've seen the picture in Bhagavad Gita. If you look at the soul riding in that chariot, he looks like haunted by ghosts, you know, like horrified. Because the horses are just running amok. So freedom for the senses is the civilization in brackets that we're seeing today, where everyone is encouraged that just do it. Just do it. If it feels good, then do it. But here we're saying freedom from being terrorized by uncontrolled senses. Niyamena, regulated observances. So this is deeper than just controlling the senses. Niyamena means establishing spiritual habits, establishing sacred habits. The habits form because of our practice in a regulated way. What do they say, the experts of the day? How many days does it take to form a good habit? You get 21, 28. in the 20s there. So if one, in a regulated way, acts in a certain way, then one creates impressions that become habits. So niyamena in this case is activities like mangalati. Sometimes the devotee is saying, you know, I just can't make it to mangalati. I'm always feeling exhausted. And then we ask, what time do you go to bed? Well, especially students in South Africa, I don't know if it happens here in Florida, 1 o'clock. And then you think, are you a magician? Some type of yogi that you think you can make it to mangalati when you slept at one. Impossible. The great challenge of the age is this digital distraction. These gadgets have mystical powers. That we find that the devotees, even if they are sitting, lying down on the bed, exhausted from coming from work or service, soon as they hit the screen and the light comes on, ta-da, all sleep vanishes. All of a sudden, devotee can put in 2-3 hours lying in that very bed, which was bought to make sure that I get the best type of sleep. The same mobile phones, we set the alarms are snoozed. And then we are coming to mangalati if we do come at some point, but one is so exhausted that one is thinking like, this mangalati is just like so slow. And the mind starts to harass, why are we actually staring at these deities? Maybe this is, I made the wrong choice in life. By the time one sits down for japa, we think there's something wrong with the holy name. There's nothing in this name, man. I've been doing this for a few months now, a few years. There's nothing here, but it is not the problem of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The name is full of all mellows that the heart is yearning for. It is like Chintamani, touchstone. It is Punashuddha, Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated, no material tinge, no contamination. It is none different from Krishna, the all-attractive one. If I'm not attracted to Krishna, that is not Krishna's disqualification. That means some obstacle between myself and Krishna. In this case, if we are exhausted, the body is screaming for rest, the mind is screaming for rest, then the spiritual practices seem like a great chore. Then the mind, consulting the intelligence, says, how long will I do this? We have to find a way out of this, you know. I cannot do this life. But it's just that no rest. Stolen, the greatest asset, our attention, our focus, is stolen by Mr. Television and the mobile gadget. So, niyamena, activities that form great habits, mangalati, chanting japa. So even that japa has to be involved. We have to be present. Sometimes we have such a routine that it is mechanical. You sit at the same place, same style, everything, whatever ambience you create. And so the mind knows, yeah, now we'll pick up the bead bag, we'll come and sit here, and then we'll whisper a few words, Krishna, Krishna. It's not really stimulating enough for the mind. Fall asleep, but you know, I'll sit there until a certain time. Be there today, coming on a new date with Radha and Krishna, coming in with something I read maybe the previous day or this morning, something Prabhupada said. Bring some volume to the chanting. Bring some melody to the chanting. some rhythm, move around, and be away. Like I know personally, when I'm tired, when I sit down, I know what's next. And give me 6 minutes, and then I'll be very humble. So we have to know what we're working with and anticipate. Okay, I'm in a fight here. Maybe I need the 6 minutes, but okay. Let the mind, let sleep catch me while I'm trying. And then give it a few minutes and then, you know, get up, fight. This is, Arjuna was instructed also, fight. Mamanusmara yudhyacha. While going through all the challenges, fight. Scripture hearing, following the different holy days, auspicious days, these create structure in our lives. Without structure, it is difficult to make the great escape from materialistic living. Everything has to be planned out, and spiritual life has to be prioritized in some shape or form. So, Kadama Muni is recognizing these qualities in Devahuti. He speaks of her austerity, that she's accepted all this inconvenience for this higher objective. This is what we are doing. And initially, it's inconvenience. Later on, it's what energizes my life. We find no meaning without this regulated lifestyle, these spiritual habits. We find we're disoriented without this. Otherwise, Devahuti could have stayed in the palace, enjoyed amazing cocktails, perfumes, beautiful mirrors, saris. No one would blame her. She's a princess. Not many get that type of karma. However, she had become transformed by this tapo divyam, divine austerity. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says how comfort feeds forgetfulness. Tapasya awakens remembrance. We have this experience when we are doing some fasting that it becomes easier to think about your existence. You know, when there's hunger there, there's a bit of humility. When there's too much in the belly, then the body wants to just lie down and take shelter of tamaguna. So austerity revives the higher faculties of introspection, and the devotee goes deeper, questions his existence, questions his practices, and the devotee can plan how to get out. Finally, Kadama Muni honors the point of charity, Dravina Dhanai. He's giving instruction to her that this is crucial, that you should serve, including your money. Now, it can be a very sensitive topic. All glories to the Christian preachers. They are never shy about this. I went to one church. The man met us in the street doing Harinam. I guess he liked the sound of the Harinam. So he stopped in his big SUV, stood out, Range Rover. Okay. He said, "How are you?" "We are well. I run a church in the township. I'd like to invite you to come and do this singing in my church." So we thought, that's interesting. He didn't think it was contradictory. When we got there, he engaged us about three times. And what was that time? He would call for time for giving for the kids. They come up to give their money. Then for the youth. And then for those who are not married. Then again, there's an altar call for those who are married. Then it's time for giving for the elderly. So then we could understand where the Range Rover was coming from. Because the area where he is, it's the church is like this big marquee. It's been like that, I guess, for years. Didn't really build anything. The people are not so well to do. But he really preaches charity, giving. So wealth, money, reveals our attachments. Whatever money we have, it's meant to fund whatever it is that we're attached to. So to purify material attachment, this point of giving to the service of the Lord purifies these tendencies. Srila Prabhupada said, one cannot keep Krishna outside his wallet. Krishna must also be in the wallet. So charity spiritualizes one's possessions. One should not just merely give leftovers, but one should give what is dear, what is being held behind. The example of Sudama is there, that the best he had, of course the wife gave this chipped rice, and he was feeling, how can I give this to Krishna? But Krishna, he was interested. You have some nectar that you're not giving me. Why are you hiding this nectar? And Sudama says, what nectar do I have? And Krishna is like wrestling him, trying to get to this rice, which was stashed in his dhoti. And Krishna took it. Ah, he showed such great relish. Rukmini was shocked. My Lord, this is not fit for you. But Krishna was relishing the devotion with which his friend, who was shy to even give the gift, how his love for him, this is what Krishna is relishing. So Shradaya, faith, this is the soul of all these activities that we are discussing, controlling the senses, regulating them. One has to have faith that this austerity will help me to give up the lower platform and to connect to Krishna. It should not be austerity to pump up my ego, just see how much I'm a dridavrati. Charity should not be for the sake of prestige. Let them see that I gave. And it should not be a ritual, dry, because ultimately, everything is about bhakti, devotion. Therefore, he says, Ishwaram bhaja, that the culmination of all these activities is not to worship austerity or worship charity, but to worship Lord Vishnu. Devotional service is the intention of all activities. If it does not end at devotional service, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It is a simple waste of labor. All right, I had some. So at this point, maybe we will just invite the devotees to share their comments or questions, if there are any. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. And my apologies that we only have left it with 5 minutes. But
thank you for your class. And I understand that Kardama Muni was a great sage, and I'm sure he knew what he's doing. But just in my mind, I don't understand that he's leaving to meditate on the Lord when the Lord itself is going to be born. So I don't know if there are any further references or it just...
It's a very...
For me to understand it.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite curious. I'd thought about that. God is coming to take birth in my home. I'm taking sannyas and leaving home. Well, that Lord still has to be raised. Maybe Kardama Muni didn't want to change diapers and feed a child. And sannyas, for the same meditation on the Lord, the emphasis is mainly showing how he is performing his duties of graduating from householder life and taking renunciation. And the setup of the Leela is that we will spotlight Kapila Muni, who will be giving instructions to Devahuti. So you could almost say Yoga Maya, if she's in charge of this script, removes Kadama Muni from the scene. You did your yogic thing, and now we are going to focus on the instructions of bhakti that Kapila has appeared that he'll give to Devahuti. Otherwise, yes, it is seemingly peculiar why he would leave his home when the Lord will appear in his home. And if there's some devotees with some other insights on this, I'm also very interested to understand if there's any background. Otherwise, on the same topic or a question, because, okay.
So he already knew that the Lord would take Bharat in his home. I mean, it's not, you know, not in fullness really. I mean, Kapila Dev was like a plenary expansion of the Lord. It's not the complete supreme. But, and he had promised, once the child comes, then he will leave home, you know, and go continue his meditation or whatever. You see, that had already been ordained, really. And so he's upkeeping that form, you know. I mean, he knew that Kapila Dev would come. He told him everything, you know. I mean, he had his mystical power. So he's fulfilling his vow and whatever, you see. So,
yes.
I mean, like, we're bewildered, but why he, you know, he would leave and the Lord is coming, but.
Yes, I think he would need devotees also to preach to him, you know, like we find Yudhisthira is attached to the vow of always being truthful. And when he's told by Krishna himself to say something which is untrue, he tends to stick towards the vow side. So maybe Kadama Muni also, someone else could say, look, yes, you said when the child comes, you leave, but this is no ordinary child. But yes, thank you for that. Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for coming and giving us your association. In the beginning, when you first started speaking, you said that you would chant, you know, you were going to chant the first two verses yourself and we would do the third one. And as soon as you started, immediately everyone kind of was, you know, and I was thinking of, yeah, it just made me think of the importance of still, you know, like we're all sitting here doing the right thing, but still there's levels, you know, like still it's important to bring the attention and not, again, like, as you were saying, not being mechanical. You know, so I just that came to me when that happened earlier.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Because we're doing the same things every day. So, yes, to be present, to be aware. And we all have that experience. So when, even like Mangalati, when it's meditative, when you're thinking about the meanings of certain prayers, we recite translations sometimes, and it's just like a speed train. Yeah. If we say Shikshastakam, they're such potent prayers. So, yes, thank you so much about that, yes, being mechanical. I also surrendered to the devotees. Okay, let's go. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
One really intriguing point you brought up was how comfort brings forgetfulness. And I've seen it practically, that when there is comfort, we tend to forget Krishna, whether it's lying in the bed, like you said, or whether it is that we get comfortable with our home life or whatever. But the other point you brought up was also very interesting, the opposite of that, which is that austerity brings remembrance. And I notice this every morning. When the austerity comes of either chanting japa or something like that, the mind wants to now give you all remembrance of all things that need to be done and all things that happened and all things that should happen. But of course, the remembrance is meant to be of a higher nature. But in the beginning, it starts off with all the unnecessary remembrance of things. I guess we have to transcend that.
Yes, yes. The other options you have, other than doing this austerity, the mind presents.
Sometimes opposite contradictory characteristics evoke more devotion. For an example, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, in his conversation with Nanda Maharaj was expressing that I don't have a feeling for the Lord as much as Dasharath had. When Ram left, he also left. So that was required. But then Uddhava went completely opposite. No, no. When Krishna comes, he will be depressed if he doesn't see you. So your living, not giving up life, will evoke his feeling more and more, and he will really appreciate. So Nanda Maharaj reconciled, okay, I should not die, I should not leave, I should stay alive and be happy that Krishna is coming back. So I was thinking like similar Prahlad Maharaj's case. He says, Grihanda Kupam, getting married, it's like a going into a dark, deep, dark well. But then he got married. You know, he was coronated. And Brahmaji coronated him to be the ruler of his father's kingdom. And then he found, Nrisimhadev came many occasions in a disguised form to test his devotion. And he found that actually entering into the family life, even though before he said entering into family life is like entering into deep dark well without bhakti, he found that, or he exhibited that, as bringing more devotion in his life. And that's why he was more popular at that time. And that he made the whole kingdom devotee. So it's not a question of Kardama Muni living or not living. It's a question of evoking the more devotion to that person's life. Kardama Muni will feel more close to God when he actually literally follow this ashram that he took a vow. He'll go away and he will, in separation, he will do more austerity and he's feeling more satisfied in that way. And that is 100% correct. There's nothing wrong. At the same time, yes, if somebody's family has a Bhagavan appearing and celebrating a big celebration, that is also wonderful. Both are correct. It's not like one is right or one is wrong. Both are correct.
What is wonderful is that it brings about this discussion.
Yes.
Yes, these pastimes are such that they're not dry and just stereotyped. They always pull your attention in, like Mataji's bring up, that seems odd, you know, you want God and he's coming and you're going, and you're bringing up, he wants to fulfill his vows, live that life, and gain the fruit of following Vrata, demonstrate proper duty. So all flavors are there. All flavors are there. Thank you for that comment. Thank you.
Maharaj, so now a question. At the beginning when you started the class, you were talking about going through householder life and then take to vanaprastha and hopefully sannyas or renunciation. But for devotees, is that important or is it necessary? Or what's your understanding of that part?
Are you thinking about doing something?
Well, I mean, I'm always thinking of doing something.
What is matavya satatam Vishnu vismatavya najatu chit save vidhi nisedasyu eva kinkara. So all rules and regulations are meant to be servants to this conception of always remembering Vishnu and never forgetting him. So all decision making should be based on this principle. How will I become assisted to better remember the Lord and never forget him? So for your devotion, if you decide along these lines, then that decision will be properly oriented. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gaur Premanande.